Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham. Libya's transitional government says a mass grave uncovered this week contains the remains of more than 1,000 inmates killed in the Abu Salim prison massacre in 1996. But with few forensic experts on hand, it's hard to verify that these are the bodies of the Abu Salim victims, and there's a risk that valuable evidence could be tainted. This is also the case for mass graves that have been uncovered throughout Libya from the current conflict. Today we'll speak with Stefan Schmidt. He's director of the International Forensic Program at Physicians for Human Rights. He's just returned from Libya. We'll also be joined by Fred Abrahams. He's a senior advisor at Human Rights Watch. First to you, Stefan. What happens now when a mass grave is uncovered in Libya? What's the procedure, or is there a procedure?
First of all, I think that we have to correct some notions here in the sense that there are allegations of a mass grave, and I think that what we have so far are witness statements that have led to a certain area where they suspect the mass grave with the remains from the people that were killed during the prison riot in 1996. I don't think that there have been any kind of excavations, and there certainly isn't the capacity to do any kind of controlled scientific and forensic excavations in order to determine whether there really is a grave or how big it is.
That's for the Abu Salim prison massacre, the most recent grave that we're talking about. And it would be, if it is the remains of those prisoners, it would be one of the more important mass graves for the Libyan people. Fred, what can you tell us about Abu Salim and its significance?
Abu Salim was the most notorious prison in Muammar Gaddafi's Libya, held specifically for political prisoners. And in 1996, there was a revolt in the prison that was crushed with force by the security guards, who eventually killed an estimated 1,200 of the prisoners. It is the signature atrocity of the Gaddafi regime. Information was not given to the families about the deaths until years later. Even the families were bringing food and gifts for their relatives who they thought were still alive all the way up until 2002. And to this day, we don't know where the bodies are. So that's why this discovery of the reported mass grave, the alleged site, and we don't know if it is the site, but even the reports of it have sparked intense interest within Libya.
It sparked interest, and also, obviously, there's a problem with that because people may want to exhume whatever's there very quickly. Why is that so critical that they not exhume whatever is there, Stefan?
First off, you know, when you do any kind of investigation or a forensic investigation, we really have to look at the scope of the problem that we have. So one of the basic technical things would be to determine whether there is a gravesite. How big is it? You know, is it just one pit that was dug and the remains were put in, or is it several different pits? Are the remains commingled? And on another issue, you know, exhuming a grave like that by people who are not experts and trained in this is going to result in the bones and body parts are going to be separated in such a way that it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, to tell, you know, which bones belong to which body. So instead of having, let's say, X amount of well-defined bodies in a good excavation, when you can take out skeletons or bodies as whole units, so to say, from which then you could sample DNA and possibly, you know, do some identifications down the road by comparing the DNA to surviving family members, you're going to end up with, you know, literally a pile of bones, as happened in many other countries like in Rwanda or in Cambodia. And you're individually not going to be able to tell, for instance, what the cause and manner of death was. Some of the, you know, very forensic information as far as the legal ability to say, yes, these people were all executed because they all have gunshot wounds to the back of the head, for instance.
And how do you deal with the competing desires here of relatives to have funerals? How do you balance the needs of relatives with the need to collect evidence?
Look, the families of the Abu Salim victims with whom I've spoken desperately want information and they want justice. So it's understandable that they will rush to any reported site where the remains of their relatives may be. That's why it's critical that the authorities in Libya devise and present a plan. Because if the families see that the authorities are dealing with this in a professional way, that the graves will be collected properly, that the evidence will be collected properly, and there'll be some legal mechanism to deal with this case, I think they will wait. But if they don't have signs that the authorities are dealing with this well, then it's understandable and predictable that they'll try and do it themselves.
I completely agree. Another variable in these dynamics is the fact that, you know, you might even get 99% of the family members to decide, okay, they're going to wait. But if you have 1% of the family members that don't believe in this and they show up at 1 o'clock in the morning at the gravesite and start digging, then you still lost the information. And, you know, it's very difficult to even post guards on a crime scene.
The problem in Libya right now is the vacuum of power. You don't have a clearly articulated and well-defined authority. There's a whole spectrum of individuals and institutions that are claiming to represent victims, justice, and the state. And I think our task as human rights organizations is to talk about the problem and to press the authorities and their international supporters, people who are interested to see Libya develop a rule of law and a proper judicial system, to press them to do the right thing. But, you know, it's happened already. It's going to happen. We are going to lose some of this evidence in the chaos of post-Qaddafi Libya. I'm afraid it's inevitable.
And what you've done, both Physicians for Human Rights and Human Rights Watch, is ask that all exhumations be halted right now because there just aren't enough forensic experts and there isn't enough security.
We've asked for three basic steps from the new authorities. The first is to declare a moratorium on any exhumations. They should be stopped. The second is to post guards at the various sites that are identified to make sure that spontaneous and unplanned exhumations do not take place. And the third is to devise and speak publicly about a plan, how these will be dealt with, how they will be exhumed, how the evidence will be collected, and how it will fit into some legal process. Because ultimately, that's what the families of these victims want. They want some justice. So, that's going to be a long task because the judicial system is devastated. That's why articulating the plan is so key, because if people see, okay, it's coming down the line, I can wait. Abu Slim victims, the families have waited since 1996. They can wait some more if they know a plan is in the works. Otherwise, they'll try and take justice into their own hands.
But the other graves, and there have been quite a few uncovered in Libya, are from the more recent violence from the last 6 months. Is that correct?
Yes. So, I mean, in the dying days of the Qaddafi government in late August, there was a spate of killings, including killings of people in detention, executions of detainees. Human Rights Watch documented three different sites, heard about others. Some parts of the country are still inaccessible, and there may be more sites. We're aware of at least 13 places in western Libya alone where so-called mass graves have been reported that of different sizes. So this is not just a question about the Abu Slim prison killings. This is going to be a huge challenge for Libya in many, many cases from the 6 months of this war.
In terms of international justice, in terms of justice for Libyans, the only process that's sort of in motion is an open ICC case. Is that correct?
Well, the International Criminal Court is currently investigating the conflict in Libya. The initial phase is in the first months, February, March, and they haven't yet opened the investigation into the second phase when most of these killings took place. But it is certainly possible. They do have the mandate. The Security Council has said they can do this, and it's likely that they will. So, yes, these grave sites that are cropping up around Libya today could very well become the focus of an ICC investigation, or the crimes could be investigated, and the grave sites would therefore be critical evidence in those investigations.
When you look back at something like the Abu Slim prison massacre, Human Rights Watch did a report on that massacre in 2006. Was there evidence that was missing in that report, you know, questions that were unanswered that could be answered by the exhumation of bodies?
Look, the 96 prison killings in Abu Slim are this tragic puzzle in which we are just slowly putting the pieces bit by bit. So we first did a report back in 2006 based on limited testimony and limited information. We wanted to get out there that this had happened because the world didn't even know. And now over time, we're slowly beginning to get more and more witnesses, especially with the fall of Muammar Gaddafi. All of these people are willing, feel safe to speak. Even a prison guard who I interviewed just 2 weeks ago in Tripoli for the first time, some of the authorities, not just prisoners, are coming forward and telling what they saw in those days. So all of this is leading up, and obviously a professional exhumation of the gravesite is going to be a critical element to find out eventually what actually happened there and to lead to some justice.
And everything in Libya right now, obviously we have a conflict that's ongoing. It's also extremely political. How could evidence or the specter of all these mass graves be used in a way that's perhaps, in the interest of one party and not the other?
Well, Libya is deeply politicized after 42 years of Gaddafi's entrenched ideology. And the prevailing narrative today is that Libyans were victimized by the regime, which they were. But there's a tendency to overstate and even exaggerate the number of missing persons, the number of killed persons, which, in my view, is a great shame for the people who did lose their lives, for the people who are missing, of which there are many. But the evidence does not always support the allegations made by the authorities and by others about, for example, 20,000 missing persons. So that can influence the process. And it's all the more why these professional exhumations and proper evidence collection is critical, because it will cut through the politicized atmosphere in which numbers are inflated, twisted, or manipulated for one or another political narrative. And in the long term, I think that is important both for the history of the place and for any criminal justice that may come in the future years.
That was Fred Abrahams, senior advisor at Human Rights Watch. I also spoke with Stefan Schmidt, director of the International Forensic Program for Physicians for Human Rights. For more information about the Abu Salim massacre or mass graves in Libya, check out the Human Rights Watch website at hrw.org. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. You can also find us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.